नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडेज सेशन। We have been discussing from the 7th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first part of this chapter, we already discussed about the killing of Shakatasura. So, last session we started discussing from this pastime of the killing of Trinavarta. Trinavarta is not yet dead, but his bad time has started. So I'll do a quick recap of what happened exactly in this particular section. One day, Mother Yashoda was patting Krishna while putting Krishna on her lap, and suddenly he became heavy like a mountain peak. So actually, here it is, there is a clarification that this pastime happened when Krishna was 1 year old. Shakatasur, killing of Shakatasur happened when he was 3 months old. Killing of Putana when he was 8 days old. And Trinavarta is when he was 1 year old this past time. So Yashoda felt great bliss by placing Krishna on her lap. And she was lifting him up in the air with her two hands. Suddenly Krishna became heavy as a mountain top and Yashoda could no longer hold him. And because Krishna knew Trinavarta wanted to kidnap Yashoda along with himself, therefore he displayed his Aishwarya Shakti in order to prevent any pain for Mother Yashoda. So that therefore he became heavier than the heaviest. So Mother Yashoda had to put Krishna down. And Krishna also thought, oh, Mother Yashoda could only throw me up in the air, only maybe 1 or 2 feet. But I wish to go high up in the sky, to play in the sky. So he decided like this and he said, okay, I could use the help of Trinavarta for accomplishing this. So then feeling the child to be very heavy, she put Krishna down. And very astonished, Mother Yashoda began to think of Narayana. And she continued her work. So she thought maybe some demon has done this. What is this? So fearing in this way, Mother Yashoda took shelter of Lord Narayana. So she thought, oh Lord, you have given this son. So now you must protect him. So and then she went out to call some brahmanas to perform some swastyayana ceremony for the well-being of Krishna. At that time, a demon named Trinavarta came as a whirlwind at Kamsa's instigation and carried the child away. And covering the land of Gokula with dust, he covered everyone's vision and he began vibrating a great sound, tumultuous sound. For a moment, the whole of Braja was overcast with darkness and Mother Yashoda could not find Krishna. Unable to see anyone, they became completely disturbed and illusioned. And unable to find her son, Mother Yashoda fell to the ground and began to lament very pitifully. And when the storm subsided, the gopis ran towards Mother Yashoda, wondering why she was crying. And when they realized that Krishna was not present, they too joined her in crying. And Trinavarta, in the meantime, he took Krishna very, very high. But when Krishna became too heavy, Trinavarta could go no further. You know, at some point, first he was very, you know, light like a feather. Trinavarta just like an ordinary child, and Trinavarta could easily pick him up. But at some point when Krishna thought, okay, enough, and he became heavy like a mountain peak, and Trinavarta could not carry Krishna any further, so he stopped moving. So Trinavarta thought maybe the child, Trinavarta felt the child to be like a mountain top or a hunk of iron. And also, Krishna, just like any other ordinary child would get very afraid, he caught hold of the neck of Trinavarta. And therefore, Trinavarta could not throw Krishna down also. So, Srila Vishnachakra says, after fulfilling his desire to fly in the sky and the desire of the celestial ladies of Swarga to see his incomparable beauty, Krishna prepared to kill Trinavarta. Krishna became so heavy that the demon felt he was carrying a mountain made of iron. And because Krishna was holding him by the neck, Trinavarta could not throw off the Lord. And he was just playing the part of a small child. So Krishna was just feigning fear of falling from the height. Therefore, he clung to Trinavarta's neck. So this is where we ended our discussion last week on Thursday. So before we continue this discussion further, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add, we can take. Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion further. Okay. So Shukadeva Goswami is narrating this. So he continues. Galagrahana nishchesto daityo nirgata lochanah avyaktaravo nyapatat saha balo vyasurvraje. Galagrahana nishcheshtaha. With Krishna grasping him by the throat, daityo avyaktaravo, Trinavarta was completely choked and unable to make a sound or even move his hands and legs. Avyaktaravo, you know, his movement and his sound became completely stopped. Nirgata lochanaha, and his eyes popping out. Vyasuhu, viasuhu, without his, he lost his life air. Nyapatat, and he fell down. Sahabalo, along with Krishna, he fell down. Vraje, down to the ground of Vraja. Being choked up and unable to move or speak, his eyes popping out, he lost his life and fell down with Krishna. Tamantarikshat patitam shilayam vishirna sarva vayavam karalam puram yatarudra sharena viddam triyorudatyoda drushusametaha. Sametaha striyaha, when the assembled gopis dadrushuhu rudatyaha, when they had gathered there and were crying for Krishna, tam antarikshat patitam shilayam, the demon fell from the sky onto the slab of a big stone. Vishirna sarva avayavam karalam. You know, his ghastly limbs got completely dislocated. Puram yata rudra sharena viddam. Pura, he is Tripurasur. Yata puram, just as Tripurasur, rudra sharena viddam, was pierced by the arrow of Lord Shiva. The gopis gathered there were crying for Krishna. So the gopis gathered there were crying for Krishna. As the demon fell on a slab of rock with dislocated joints, pradaya matre प्रतिहृत्य विस्मिताः कृष्णं च तस्योरसि लम्बमानम् त्वं सस्तिमन्तं पुरुषादनीतं विहाय सा मृत्युमुखात् प्रमुक्तं गोप्यश्च गोपा किल नन्दमुख्या लब्ध्वा पुनः प्रापुरतीव मोदम्। कृष्णं प्रादाय तस्य उरसि लम्बमानम्। सो तस्य उरसि लम्बमानम्, कृष्ण वाज स्टिल यू नो कंप्लीटली होल्डिंग ऑन टू द नेक ऑफ यू नो तृणावर्त एज इफ ही वाज वेरी फियरफुल। कृष्णं प्रादाय, सो द गोपीज पिक्ड अप कृष्ण हु वाज स्टिल होल्डिंग ऑन टू द नेक ऑफ तृणावर्त। प्रतिहृत्य एंड डेलिवर्ड हिम स्वस्तिमंतम, who was completely free from all inauspiciousness, मात्रे प्रतिहृत्य, they delivered him to Mother Yashoda. तम विहायसा पुरुषादनीतम, because he was taken by this dangerous demon in the sky, मृत्युमुखात् प्रमुक्तम, was unhurt and now free from all dangers and misfortune. मृत्युमुखात् प्रमुक्तम, he was, Krishna was now free from the danger of death. Gopyascha gopa kila nanda mukhya, the gopis, gopas headed by Nanda Maharaj, punaha labdva ativa modam prapuhu, they became extremely happy. The gopis picked up Krishna and gave him to Mother Yashoda. And because Krishna was alive and unhurt, all the Vrajavasis became extremely happy. The Gopas and the Gopis picked up Krishna, who was clinging to the chest of the demon, and gave him to Yashoda. They were astonished to see how the demon had fallen on his back on a stone slab, and that Krishna was unharmed playing on his chest. You know, Vraja was not a mountainous region, even though Vraja did have Govardhan, but he fell down exactly at a residential place, and they were astonished that how did he exactly fall down on that stone, on the slab of stone, and not hurting anyone else or any other place. No agricultural land was disturbed, no houses were disturbed on a big huge slab of stone exactly at that particular point of time, at that particular place he came and fell down. That was one cause of astonishment, and the second cause was Krishna. This person had all his limbs smashed completely and he died. Krishna was absolutely unhurt. Nothing happened to him. Krishna was not even crying. So they were completely astonished by this. So even though Krishna was taken by the demon, Purusha, the eater of humans, high into the sky, he was miraculously saved from the mouth of death. So they were extremely happy, very, very happy.
Aho batatyad butamesha rakshasa bhalo nivrittim gamito vyagat punaha himsraswapapena vihimsitakhalah sadus samatvena bayad vimuchyate. Aho bata atyad butam, oh, it is most astonishing. Balaha, that although this innocent child, Esha Rakshasa Nivrittim Gamitaha, was taken away by the Rakshasa to be eaten, that's how they thought, Punaha Abhyagat, he has returned without having been killed or even injured. Himsraha Kalaha, and because this demon was envious, cruel and sinful, Swapapena Vihimsitaha, he has been killed for his own sinful activities. Why did Trinavarta die? He died because of his own sinful activities. This is the law of nature. Sadhu samatvena bayad vimuchyate. But a sadhu, an innocent devotee, is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the sinful person is always vanquished for his sinful life. So that's how they thought. So here sadhu can refer to innocent Krishna, or sadhu can refer to Nanda Maharaj. He is such a wonderful devotee of the Supreme Lord Narayana. How could such a wonderful devotee be put into suffering by Lord Narayana by taking his child away from him? Like that they were thinking. So they thought, it is most astonishing that Krishna has returned unhurt and unharmed. The demon died because of his own sins, and an innocent devotee is always protected. So this is how the Vrajavasis thought. Okay. Krishna was only a small child, a delicate child, yet he clearly manifested enormous power to kill such a great demon. So they could not understand that Krishna had killed Trinavarta. This never came to their mind. They thought Krishna has, the demon has been killed because of his own sinful nature. Because of his own sinful reactions, he has been killed. They could not think, they could not even imagine that Krishna would have killed Trinavarta. That thought itself did not enter into their mind. This, however, did not decrease the affection of Nanda Maharaj and others. Rather, it increased it. This idea is expressed in three verses. Asyadbhutam esha. Krishna's feat, F-E-A-T, feat, was the most astonishing of all possible astonishing things. How astonishing Krishna's feat. This was so because baby Krishna almost became annihilated. The word marana, which means death, is not used because of its inauspicious connotations. Therefore, the word nivritti is used. Nivritti means vanishing. And in this context, it means he must have died. But even though the word marana should be used, the word marana is not used because of its inauspicious connotation. Even though Krishna neared death, he again returned to his friends. How astonishing. One of Krishna's friends remarked, but what is so astonishing? A cruel demon was destroyed because of his sin of stealing an innocent child. So one of Krishna's friends, means one of the Vrajavasis, they said that, oh, what is so astonishing? That cruel demon was destroyed because of his own sin of stealing an innocent child. And even though Krishna is only a child, he is saintly because he regards enemies and friends equally, and thus he was saved from danger. Why did the demon die? Because he was sinful. Why was Krishna saved? Because he is a sadhu. He sees friends and enemies equally. That is the explanation. There is no thought that, is there a possibility that Krishna would have killed him? Absolutely not. That thought does not even enter into the minds of the Vrajavasis. How could such a small child kill such a great demon? So, I think it is Jiva Goswami or Srila Prabhupada who mentioned that sadhu can also refer to Nanda Maharaj. How could Supreme Lord allow such a saintly Nanda Maharaj to suffer the loss of his own child? So This is what they were thinking. So then they say, Kim nas tapaschirnam adokshajarchanam purteshtadattam utabhuta sauhridam yat sampareta punareva balako dishtya swabandun pranayan upasthitah. Kim nahat tapaschirnam. Maybe we must have previously performed austerities for a long time, Nanda Maharaj and others thought. Adokshajarchanam. Is it because of our worship of Lord Adokshaja? Is that why we were so fortunate to get Krishna back? Bhuta Sauhridam. Or we have done some social welfare activities. Is that why Krishna was protected? Purta, Ishta, Purta. Maybe we constructed some wells or some roads. Dattam. Oh, maybe because of our charity that we gave. Because of which, Yad Balakaha Samparetaha Punar Dishtya Upasthitaha. Because of which, this Krishna, who almost went into the mouth of death, has come back without any problem. Swabandun pranayan, to give pleasure to his own friends and relatives. We must have performed some pious acts or worshipped the Lord, because of which Krishna is back alive to give pleasure to the Prajavasis. Like that they thought. Nanda Maharaj and others began to speak. If anything inauspicious had happened to Krishna, we all would have died. That Krishna is unharmed is a result of heaps of pious activities. Thus they spoke this verse. How much austerities they must have done, how much worship of the Lord, how much help to other living entities, how many auspicious works such as sacrifices and constructing a well or a canal. Because of these good deeds, Krishna has returned from death to bring life to his friends by showing his affection. So we all are alive because Krishna has come back without being hurt. Drishtvadbhutani bahusho danda gopo brihadvane vasudeva vacho bhuyo manayamasa vismitah. Drishtva adbhutani bahusho. Having seen all these incidents, at least three incidents have been mentioned, there must have been more probably. Drishta adbhutani bahusho. Having seen all these incidents like killing of Putana, killing of Shakatasura, now killing of Trinavarta. Brihadvane, in Brihadvan, Nanda Gopo Vismitaha. Nanda Maharaj became more and more astonished. Vasudeva Vacho Bhuyo Manayamasa. Remembering the words of Vasudeva, which he spoke 1 year back, because Trinavarta Vada happens 1 year when Krishna was 1 year old. And just when Krishna was born, when he was about a week old, at that time Vasudeva had told Nanda Maharaj, go back immediately to Vraja because there could be some dangers. So, seeing all these incidents, Nanda Maharaj became astonished and remembered the words spoken by Vasudeva. So Trinavarta's episode is over now. Now the next episode is starting. Anyways, so before we move on, If there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, as add, we can take. Anything anyone would like to share, discuss, ask. Yes, Srividya Mahesh.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. So does it mean that Kamsa knew that Krishna is here, the person who is going to kill him, his nephew is here now, Krishna? Is it that way? That's where he is here. Krishna? Or did he come to know about it after Krishna's episode? Is that anything with it?
Yeah, he must have he randomly sent Putana to kill all children because and when Putana was killed by Krishna, that must have sort of made that doubt more strong that maybe this is the child. And then subsequently, with the killing of Shakatasura, that must have been confirmed even more. And now with Trinavarta's death, he must have been sure that yes, this must be the child, like that. Yeah. He must have been sure. That's how he was sent. He was sending the demons especially to pick up. It's not that Trinavarta had picked up other children. Trinavarta directly came and picked up Krishna only. So definitely he must have known by then. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu. And one more question, if I can ask you. So like mentioning the previous sloka, that Nandamara is thinking that because of the various pious activities, Jesus Avritam that we have done, so Krishna was saved. Could be that, could be reason. So I just wanted to know, like, doing such, public welfare activity, so does such activity have the power to save a life?
Does it have? See, definitely, in one sense, actually, one's lifespan and everything, from an ordinary point of view, depends on piety only. So, if you have saved someone from danger, then that piety might also come back to save you from danger. So, that is the normal understanding. So, any good thing that one experiences is due to piety. Any bad thing that you experience is due to your own impious deeds in the past. So, that is the common understanding. So, with that in mind, they were telling that, oh, Krishna was saved. Maybe, we all must have. Krishna must have performed some pious activities in his past life. And we are not suffering the loss of our children because we also must have perform some pious activities in the past life, like that they are feeling. Is that okay, Mathil?
Okay. So, generally, I just wanted to know, like, if it really has the power, such a power to save one's life. Just for a knowledge sake, I just wanted to know. So, when we say these things, but does it really have the power to save one's
life? See, one thing, it's not about their performing pious activities has saved them from experiencing the pain of separation from their own child, from having to see their own son die before them. But Krishna's own pious activities, because ultimately one's lifespan depends on one's piety and impiety only. Whatever pious and the way one dies, how much one suffers, all of this is dependent on one's piety and impiety only. So Nanda Maharaj is naturally feeling that Krishna must have been a very pious person, because of which Krishna is he did not die such ignoble death, and we all must have performed lot of pious activities, because of which we are not put into the situation of experiencing the pain of the death of our own child prematurely, like that.
So, can we include Krishna conscious activities also in this list of pious activities?
Krishna conscious, this whole piety and impiety is
all prior to one's coming to Krishna consciousness. Once one comes into Krishna consciousness, then, you know, he is not controlled. His whatever he experiences in his life is not controlled by piety and impiety. Now, out of natural convention, the Vrajavasis are thinking that we must have performed a lot of pious activities like that. But in reality, they are all actually eternal. They are all eternal. So they are eternal companions of Krishna. So they are, where is the question of piety and impiety in them? But they are just like a normal man would think they are thinking like that. But in reality, you know, they are all eternal associates of Krishna.
Thank you. Thank
you. Okay. There is another question. Were Rakshasas very commonly present during the Dwapara Yuga? Probably that's how they are able to, think in that way. They are able to identify that here is a Rakshasa. And Srila Sukadeva Goswami also says he is a Purushada. He is a man-eating Rakshasa. So they must have seen it and experienced it. So that's how they are able to identify that here is a Rakshasa like that. That's my understanding. Anything else before we move forward? Okay, if there is none, let's continue. Okay, next episode starts here. Ekadarbakamadaya swankamaropya bhamini prasnutam payayamasa tanam sneha pariplutha. Ekada, once upon a time, one day, bhamini, Mother Yashoda, Arbakam Adaya, having taken Krishna up, Sva Ankam Aropyan, placed him on her lap, Tanam Payayamasa, she was feeding him milk from her breast, Sneha Pariplutha, filled with affection. Prasnutam, the milk was flowing from her breast and the child was drinking it. One day, Mother Yashoda put Krishna on her lap and was feeding him milk. Pita prayasya janani sutasya ruchirasmitam mukam lalayati rajan jhrumbato dadrushe idam kam rodasi jyotir anikamashah. Suryendu vakni shvashanam budimscha dvipannagamstad tuhitruvanani bhutani yani stira jangamani. O Rajan, O Parikshit Maharaj, Pita prayasya. When the child was almost finished drinking, prayasya pita. When the child had almost finished drinking his mother's milk, Janani, Mother Yashoda, Sutasya Mukam Lalayati. She was just caressing Krishna's face, beautiful smiling face. Jhrumbato, and suddenly Krishna started yawning. Jhrumbana means to yawn. Dadrishe, and his mother saw, Kham, Rodasi, Jyotarani Kham, Ashaha, she saw the whole sky. She saw the whole sky, the higher planetary system and the earth, the luminaries, the sun, the moon, fire, air, the seas, islands, mountains, rivers, forests, and all kinds of living entities moving and non-moving. Okay. When Krishna had almost finished drinking, and when he yawned, Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe with the sky, luminaries, seas,
etc. in his mouth. Krishna had almost completely finished drinking Yashoda's milk. When Krishna yawned, Yashoda saw the entire universe within his mouth. In another version of Srimad Bhagavatam, it states that while Yashoda was kissing Krishna, she saw the universe in his stomach. Okay. So that's how it is mentioned. Lord Brahma makes the same point in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.16. Krishnasya chantar jatare jananya. O Lord, you exhibited the universe within your abdomen before your mother Yashoda. So there are two versions. One version, according to one version, Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of Krishna when he was yawning. Another version has when actually Mother Yashoda was kissing Krishna, she saw the whole universe within his abdomen. Even though Krishna was lying in his mother's lap, by his inconceivable energy, he is also the foundation of the whole universe. Even though Krishna is lying on the lap of his mother, but he is also inconceivably and simultaneously the foundation of this whole universe. At the moment Krishna yawned, he displayed the universe with all its details by his inconceivable energy. Yashoda saw the antariksha, the outer space or the area between the bhuloka and bhuvarloka. That is antariksha. She saw the bhuvarloka, she saw the swargaloka, martyaloka and patalaloka, the three worlds, the constellations, the directions, the sun, moon, fire, air, Jambudvipa and the other islands, the trees, forests, the daughters of the mountains, that is the rivers, and all moving and non-moving entities. So she saw everything within the mouth of Krishna. Savikshya Vishvam Sahasa Rajan Sanjata Vepatuhu Sammilya Mrigashavakshi Netre Asit Suvismita. Savikshya Vishvam. When Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of her child, Sahasa Sanjata Vepatuhu, her heart began to throb. Suvismita, and in astonishment, Mrigashavakshi Netre Sammilaya Asit. Mrigashava Akshi, which means who had eyes as beautiful as a doe, you know, as a deer, a restless eyes. Sammilya Asit, she wanted to close her restless eyes. When she saw this, her heart began to throb and she wanted to close her restless eyes. Suddenly, or at the same time, Yashoda began trembling out of fear. She closed her eyes in order to meditate on Vishnu. Oh Lord, please protect my child from this disturbance. Again, she is unable to think that maybe my child could be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She thought maybe there is some, you know, disturbance, you know, some ghost has haunted my child or something like that. So, she's thinking, oh my Lord, please protect my child from this disturbance. Yashoda is described as having deer-like eyes because she glanced around like a frightened deer. If you have ever seen this, a deer is always conscious of maybe there is a wild animal chasing me. It's always like it has restless eyes, you know, gazing here and there like this. She was like a frightened deer. In this way, Krishna's display of power in killing the demons did not diminish the prema of his intimate devotees like Mother Yashoda. So this is the unique glory of the Vrajavasis. anywhere outside. So why does Yogamaya, why does Yogamaya manifest these kind of pastimes of showing the universe within the mouth of Krishna? The same Yogamaya showed the universal form to Arjuna also, when Arjuna wanted to see this universal form. Okay, so rite artham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyad atmano mayam yata baso yata tamah. So that is yoga maya. She sometimes shows something and she sometimes hides something. Why? In order to assist the pastime of Krishna. So here Krishna wanted to show the true nature of the Vrajavasi's love for Krishna. Okay. Vrajavasi's love for Krishna, it is like a, let's say if you have a regulator, fan regulator, when you have a fan regulator, you know, outside Vrindavan, Aishwarya is like a regular fan regulator. Okay. If you turn the regulator clockwise, the speed of the fan will increase. If you turn it anti-clockwise, the speed will decrease. Okay. So, in outside Vraja, any show of Aishwarya is like rotating the regulator in the anti-clockwise. It will reduce their sakya or other such rasas. Like when Krishna showed the same universal form to Arjuna, Arjuna got terribly scared. And as a result of that, he said, Saketi Matva Prasavam Yaduktam, Hey Krishna, Hey Yadava, Hey Saketi. Like that he started speaking, you know. His Sakya Bhav suddenly deteriorated into Dasya Bhav. And he felt deep regret for having addressed Krishna in very familiar terms as a friend, and joking with him, pulling his legs, sometimes criticizing him, sometimes chastising him. So what did the Yogamaya do? Yogamaya suddenly covered the two-handed form and showed the universal form to Arjuna. Why? Just to show that outside Vraja, any show of Aishwarya, you know, compromises the sweet relationship that the devotees have with Krishna. Suddenly Krishna felt a loss of Sakya. And suddenly he started experiencing Dasya. You know. The same thing happened with Yogamaya. Suddenly manifested universal form within the mouth of Krishna. So in Vraja, okay, show of Aishwarya or show of Madhurya, you know, whatever it is, you know, whether a show of Aishwarya or Madhurya, anything, right? Outside Vraja, show of Madhurya increases their intimate affection. You know, when Krishna comes and puts his hands on Arjuna's shoulders, it increases his Sakya Bhav. When Krishna shows his universal form, it decreases the Sakya Bhav. So it's like a normal fan regulator. Show of Aishwarya is like anti-clockwise turning. Show of Madhurya is like clockwise turning. There is show of Madhurya, a sweet exchange. Suddenly, there is increase of love. Show of Aishwarya, there is decrease of love. This is outside Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, you know, there is only one way the regulator rotates, only clockwise. There is show of Madhurya, the regulator turns clockwise and increases the speed. When there is show of Aishwarya, still the regulator turns only the clockwise direction. It also increases the love. Okay. Whatever activity Krishna performs, whether it is filled with Aishwarya or Madhurya, irrespective of what, Because inherently, there is absolutely the Vrajavasi's love only increases, never decreases. So when Krishna shows his sweet childhood pastimes of crawling and drinking milk and all that, it increases Mother Yashoda's Vatsalya. And when he shows his universal form within the mouth, that also interestingly increases the Vatsalya only. How? Because she thinks that, maybe there is some disturbance in my son. Maybe there is some disturbance in my son. Some ghost must have attacked him or something. Oh, Narayana, please protect my son. My son is helplessly dependent on me. Why am I seeing such strange things in his mouth? Maybe some ghost must have entered. Right? So they just need an excuse. Anything Krishna does will only increase the Vatsalya of Mother Yashoda. It will increase the Satya of Sri Dama. Otherwise, they saw Krishna killing so many demons. It's not that they kept some distance from Krishna after that. They just dealt with Krishna just like they were king. The next day, very next day, they would again ask Krishna to carry them on his shoulders. Okay. That is the unique nature of Vrindavan. It doesn't matter. Even if Krishna shows his Aishwarya, they will see beyond it. They will not see Aishwarya only. They can't see it. Like that. In this way, Krishna's display of power in killing the demons did not diminish the prema of his intimate devotees like Mother Yashoda. Rather, due to the appearance of anxiety, their ocean of prema only increased. So just like, Trinavarta is dead. Is even one Vrajavasi even considering the possibility that maybe Krishna must have done something to kill Trinavarta? Absolutely not. This does not get into their mind at all. This is not a possibility which they are considering also. This is the nature of Vrindavan, the Vrajavasi's love for Krishna. The Vrajavasis believed that Krishna was saved because of the abundant pious activities of Nanda and the Gopas. In this case, however, Krishna simply displayed his power, Aishwarya Shakti, without cause. In Trinavarta's death, what happened? Krishna was saved. Even though he displayed his power, they could not figure out the cause. Causeless display of Aishwarya. But not, the Aishwarya was not within him. There must be some reason. Thoroughly surprised, Yashoda thought only this. What has happened to my child? That's all. Something wrong with my child. He's not thinking, oh, maybe my child must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, I must be very careful with him. I cannot treat him like a child. No, that never happened. What has happened to my child? Something is wrong with my child. Like that you are thinking. Yashoda's affection did not decrease by thinking of Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Yashoda did not need to find a cause for what had happened. Because she was busy, her Vatsalya kept her busy. So therefore, she did not start researching about what could be the cause of this whole thing. So the cause of her disturbance was deep prema alone. This fixed quality of prema is continuously glorified. So this prema does not waver in Vraja. Definitely does not decrease in Vraja. It only increases. A show of Aishwarya or a show of Madhurya, it's just an excuse for that prema to increase. So, like that. Thus, it is described as follows. The energy of the Lord occasionally appeared to test Yashoda, but she made that energy as a servant of her prema. This is mentioned. So the energy of the Lord, the Aishwarya Shakti of the Lord came to test Yashoda, but Mother Yashoda made that Aishwarya as the servant of her prema. Come. She made that Aishwarya Shakti as her own servant, the servant of her prema. That's all. So she came to test
now I will see that your prema is decreasing. Mother Yashoda said, oh wait, my prema needs a servant. Come Aishwarya. You know, and she engaged Aishwarya Shakti as a servant of prema. So it is mentioned, prema devya, prema devya, what is it? Parikshartam. Prema devya parikshartam agachanti antarantara shaktir esha hare kintu tasya sa dasi krit bhavet. Tasya sa, tasya, that Aishwarya Shakti, sa, Mother Yashoda, dasi krit bhavet. She made her into a dasi. That Aishwarya Shakti was made into a servant of prema. When she came to test the prema of Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda made that Aishwarya Shakti as the servant of prema. Like that. So in this way, three distinct pastimes have been described in this particular chapter. One is the killing of Shakatasura during the Uttana ceremony of Krishna, which happened when he was about 3 months old. And then killing of Trinavarta, which happened when he was 1 year old. And then subsequently, Mother Yashoda, while feeding milk to Krishna, her seeing the universe within the mouth of Krishna. So these are the three episodes discussed in the 7th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So any quick discussion points before we move on to the next chapter? Anything anyone would like to share and add? Okay. Yes, Madhavi Gopi Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandat Pranam. Prabhuji, that means it should be understood from this episode that the whole thing of showing the Vishwarup in the mouth to Yashoda Maya was only to test her love. It is like that. Because otherwise there was no reason as such, no immediate cause.
Yeah, this Yogamaya does these things just to show them. There could be multiple reasons. One of the reasons is to show to the whole world, look, whatever you do. Mother Yashoda's love will not decrease. You know, she's such a special personality. Her Vatsalya is so strong that whether you display Madhurya or Aishwarya, it will only increase her Vatsalya Bhav and not decrease it. To show it to the whole world, the Yogamaya orchestrates such events.
Yeah, to glorify the Mother Yashoda's world.
Yes. Sri Vidya Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, sorry for bothering you with the questions with you. Just wanted to understand, Prabhuji, so in what stage of bhakti, the 9 stages of bhakti, so this, even the things of this prema, like where one devotee, even though a devotee or a sadhaka aspires to get into the prema, so where does that, even the things of that the prema develops, in the bhava and the prema stages only, or is it possible that in the lower stages also
you could develop. When you use the word prema, I wish to know what you really mean by prema. Because by telling prema, if you are indicating the stage of prema, then at what stage prema develops? It develops at the stage of prema only. So, but I think you are probably not using the word prema in that sense. So I am
quite not in that sense. Yes, not in that sense. I mean, have our the pure love for Krishna, like without any feelings of Aishwarya. Because like now only we have just started by studying Bhagavatam, trying to understand that. So now more of Aishwarya, trying to understand the greatness of Krishna there. But like Vrajavasis, they have the pure love, right? Mm-hmm. So that type of pure love for Krishna. So like, what stage does it actually manifest in this 9 stages of bhakti? I'm not sure.
Flavor, yeah, I understand. That flavor
we can reliably understand that we have developed that flavor of love. Actually, that flavor of love can develop right from the beginning also. But it becomes detectable only when there is significant anartha navritti is accomplished. At least when we reach the stage of nishta, that is when it becomes detectable. Even though definitely in the early stages of our practice of Gaudiya Vaishnava sadhana, because our practice of sadhana is guided by the writings of our Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas, who were all Vrajavasis, especially Manjaris and Gopis. So therefore, definitely through their writings, we will unconsciously develop an attraction to that particular flavor of love that the Vrajavasis have towards Krishna only. But that greed becomes very much clearly detectable only not before we reach the stage of nishta. Even though, tinges of that, we already have attraction to that. But it becomes really tangible only when significant anartha nivritti is accomplished, when we at least reach the stage of nishta, that is when it becomes clearly detectable. Like that. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu, thank you. So at that stage, will the sadhaka be able to identify this type of relationship, whether he's acquainted with Krishna in the other
world? Yeah, possible. He may. That inclination
would make it. So this deep sakra study helps us to get into that type of even after anartha nivritti also, for one to become a disciple, to reach nishta stage. So sakra
study. To reach nishta stage, what is your question, Mataji?
I mean after anartha nivritti, getting this knowledge of chakra studies, right? Our acharyas, the knowledge that is given to our acharyas, does that help us more into identifying we are related to Krishna in which of these rasas?
Yeah, definitely. Otherwise, how do we learn about the various pastimes of the Supreme Lord, and how he performs various deeper insights into the mood of the Vrajavasis and all that, unless we are learning from the writings of our acharyas, how will we get attracted to Krishna in that particular mood? So definitely Shravanam is a very critical aspect of developing a particular flavor of love.
No, what I meant was that our seva bhav is going to be the same, whatever the service that we are doing, right from the beginning, it's all going to be the same. It's not specifically oriented to any particular type of rasa, right?
Not right now. At some point, we will develop, we may start developing a desire to serve in a particular mood. That will happen.
So that also may manifest at the stage of nishta, right?
That may manifest even before that, but we will be able to detect it and be sure only when there is, for example, if you are speaking, and let's say, if you are walking in traffic, and you are speaking, and there is so much traffic noise all around you, even though I may be hearing something, but what I will be hearing is mostly the traffic sound only. I may not be able to hear what you are speaking, even though you may be speaking something. So similarly, even though a sadhaka, he may develop some inclination for a particular mood, but if the anarthas are shouting all around very streaming all around, he cannot very clearly detect whether that inclination that I am getting is also one such noise, or is it some genuine thing that is coming from my heart. So when the anartha subsides significantly, then one will be able to notice whether that noise is a genuine calling from my heart, or was it also one such anartha like that.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Nice analogy. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay, there are some questions in the chat box. Let's take that. Can we say Vatsalya Rasa combined with Adbhuta Rasa and Bhayanak Rasa? Yeah, these are quite possible. The secondary rasas can manifest also. At some point, probably, definitely, Mother Yashoda must have experienced some Bhayanak Rasa or Adbhuta Rasa. Quite possible. Even though it's not so explicitly mentioned, but quite possible. Definitely quite possible. The secondary rasas are possible with the primary rasas. Okay, there is a... prema is our eagerness to join as a member of Krishna's family. Yeah, that's a... Yeah, you can say something like that. Even though that is, you know, at its topmost stage, it is called as prema. Even bhakti, the beginning stages of bhakti indicates a particular level of eagerness to join Krishna's family only. But when we succeed in joining Krishna's family, that happens at the stage of bhava and prema. Okay. By next question, by hearing Krishna's childhood pastimes, our anarthas will be destroyed. Will our anarthas be destroyed? Yeah, of course. Definitely. Hridroga mashu apahinoti asirena dhiraha. Like that. You know, definitely our anarthas gets destroyed by hearing Krishna's all kinds of pastimes. You know, not just his childhood pastimes. Thus, Namagani Sadaruchi means that as soon as one gets free time, one will chant. What if one feels like reading as soon as one gets some free time? See, the symptom of bhava is, one of the symptoms is asaktistad gunakyane. Another is preetistad vasatistale namagani sadaruchi. So, if as soon as one gets some free time, if immediately one starts hearing Krishna's pastimes, or reading Krishna's pastimes, that is also considered to be one of the reliable symptoms of bhava. Or namagane sadaruchi, that is also another reliable symptom. So engaging in some core Krishna conscious activities, avyartha kalatvam, without wasting any time, that is a symptom of progress. It may not necessarily be only chanting the holy names. It could be chanting the holy names, hearing his pastimes, serving his devotees, any of these things like that. Okay. If there are no further discussion points or comments or questions, then we will move on to the next chapter, the 8th chapter. So the 8th chapter is titled as Krishna again is going to show universal form within his mouth. Of course, there are few other pastimes also which will be discussed in this particular chapter. Okay. So, okay, there is another question. Does singing Geet Govind songs also remove our anarthas? Actually, the songs in Gita Govinda are actually very exalted. At our stage, we may not be able to relate to it. You know, those are, describing the very esoteric pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So, one should sing and meditate on them only when there is significant anarthanavritti which has been accomplished from within the heart. Otherwise, it's a very, very esoteric book, and ordinary sadhakas who are still struggling with their anarthas, it is not the right thing to meditate upon. You know, otherwise we may tend to take these pastimes very cheaply. In the outside world also, people who may not even know anything about Krishna, who may not even be interested in spiritual life, you know, these Gita Govind songs are very popular. In South India, it's called as Jayadeva's Ashtapati. You know, everyone sings actually. Okay. But for them, this is just, they sing it just for some entertainment. But ideally, these are the most, the crest jewel of all pastimes, which requires a significant amount of purification of heart. Only such people can actually touch it. But in South India, you see, any, you know, even classical music concert, you know, people who sing for earning their livelihood, they will also sing songs from Jayadeva's Ashtapati. They will sing Jayadeva's Ashtapati, and the next song they will sing about Lord Ganapati, and then next they will sing about Goddess Durga, like that. So which means, you know, it is very unfortunate that we bring something very, very, you know, exalted to such a level. So for us, you know, we should be chanting the holy names. And singing, we may sing the bhajans which have been written by our acharyas. But Gita Govinda and, you know, Govinda Leela Amrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, those are like very, very, you know, when one reaches very high stages of devotion, that is the time when we should be meditating on these kind of writings, not at our beginner level of practicing Krishna consciousness. Like that. So, yeah, of course, Ujjwala Neelamani and all are not for right now. Those are very elevated subject matter. Okay. So the 8th chapter is titled as Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form Within His Mouth. Okay. So, Shri Shuka Uvacha Gargaha Purohito Rajan Yadunam Sumahatapaha Prajam Jagamanandasya Vasudeva Prachoditaha. O Rajan, O Maharaj Parikshit, Yadunam Purohitaha, the official priest of the Yadu dynasty, Gargaha, named Gargamuni, Sumahatapaha, who was highly elevated in austerity and penance, Vasudeva Prachoditaha, being inspired by Vasudev, Nandasya Vrajam Jagama, he went to see Nanda Maharaj at his home. So, priest of the Yadus, Garga, inspired by Vasudev, came to see Nanda Maharaj. Okay. So this chapter describes Krishna's name-giving ceremony, his crawling and stealing butter, his eating dirt and displaying the universal form. So, four pastimes are described in this particular chapter. So, his name-giving, his namakaran ceremony, his crawling and stealing butter, his eating dirt and displaying the universal form. So, after telling how Krishna killed a series of demons up to Trinavarta, Shukadev remembered Krishna's name-giving ceremony, which took place before the killing of Trinavarta, and then narrated the story. So, because the child is not unnamed till he reaches 1 year old, so not all the pastimes of Bhagavatam are described in, you know, chronological order.
You know, he spoke about three demons, Putana, Shakatasur, Trinavarta. And then thought, oh, I have not yet described Krishna's name-giving ceremony. So he goes back, because Namakaran generally happens after how many days? After 11 days after the birth of a child. So definitely, you know, he goes back remembering that, oh, we have not narrated his Namakaran ceremony. So he starts narrating it. Tam drishva paramapritaha pratyuttaya krutanjalihi anarchadokshadiya pranipata purasaram. Tam drishva, seeing Gargamuni, paramapritaha, Nanda Maharaj became very pleased. Pratyuttaya krutanjalihi, that he immediately stood up and folded his hands and welcomed Gargamuni. Adokshadiya. Although seeing Gargamuni with his eyes, Nanda Maharaj could appreciate that Gargamuni was Adokshaja. That is, he was not an ordinary person seen by material senses. Adokshaja Diya. He was thinking that Gargamuni is not an ordinary person. So he cannot be actually seen with ordinary material eyes, like that he was thinking. Anarcha Pranipata Purasaram. He worshipped him and fell down before him and offered obeisances. Pranipata Purasaram. You know, falling right in front of him, he offered obeisances. So what is Adokshaja Diya? Oh, there is not much explanation here. So when Nanda Maharaj saw Gargamuni, he stood up, received him, with great reverence. Considering him as a great person who cannot be seen by material vision. He then offered obeisance. Okay. Supavishtam kratatityam girasundrataya munim nandayitva bravi brahman purnasya karavamakim. Munim kata atityam krita atityam. When Gargamuni had been properly received as a guest, su upavishtam, and was comfortably seated, sundrataya gira nandayitva, and after speaking pleasant words to receive him, he said, O Brahmana, purnasya karavamakim. Even though you are a self-satisfied person, and you are not dependent on anything that we may give you, but still, is what can we do to please you? After receiving him properly, Nanda Maharaj spoke gentle words asking, oh, self-satisfied person, what can we do to please you? Okay. So Nanda Maharaj said, since you are complete and fully satisfied within yourself, what service can we possibly render to you?
we can do nothing. Or, taking the word kim as a question, the sentence can mean, do you want something? Even though you are perfect within yourself, please tell us and we will try to do that. So there are two things, two ways in which the words of Nanda Maharaj can be understood. The first way is that, anyway you are Purna, what can we do to please you? You are self-satisfied, there is nothing that we can do to please you. Purnasya karavamakim is a rhetorical question in the first understanding. What can we do to a person who is self-satisfied? Which means, answer is nothing. We cannot do anything to please you because you are self-satisfied. Or if you take it as an ordinary question, even though you are self-satisfied, maybe there is something that we can do to please you. So please tell me what we can do to please you. You know, like that. So either way you can take. So two explanations are given by Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur here. So if we take the first meaning, then Gargamuni would answer, coming to your house is pointless. Purnasya karavamakim. Anyway, you are self-satisfied. What can we do to you? Nothing. So, if such a thing is there, then Gargamuni may think, actually, I want something you don't want to give. That's why you are speaking like this. Yeah. Oh, you are self-satisfied. What can we do? Which means, before even I ask you something, you know, you are denying it. He may take like that. And he may think, oh, anyway, coming to your house is pointless. But if you take the second sentence, then Gargamuni would reply, oh, since I am perfect, what can you do for me? Purnasya karavamakim. Oh, even though you are completely full, please tell us what we can do to please you. So then Gargamuni may say, oh, if I am Purna, then what can you do for me? Like that. But one should not think in this way. In both cases, coming to Nanda Maharaj's house is not pointless. For welcoming a saintly person in a house is very valuable. So it is very valuable for the one who is welcoming a saintly person. One can see in the scriptures how Sanat Kumar came to Prithu's house and Vamana came to Bali's house to bestow their mercy. In this mood, Nanda Maharaj speaks verse 3. Purnasya karavama kim means you are Purna. What can we do to make our own lives auspicious? That is the mode in which Nanda Maharaj is speaking. Otherwise, that question itself has no meaning. Purnasya karavama kim. You are anyway Purna. So there is nothing that we can do which will please you. So it would be almost like, then why did you come here? Or if you say, oh, if you are Purna, even though you are Purna, what can we do to please you? So in either cases, so in the second case, it would mean like, as if Gargamuni had come to take something from us. So Nanda Maharaj was very clear that the purpose of Gargamuni's visit was to bestow auspiciousness or to give something auspicious to us. So the word karavama kim means, what can we do which would give us auspiciousness? Because we know that you have come here to grant us auspiciousness. So tell us what we can do. What should we do to become auspicious by receiving you here? Like that. That's what he's speaking here. So then he says, Mahad vichalanam drinam. Grihinam dina chetasam nishreyasaya bhagavan kalpate nanyata kvachit. O Bhagavan, O great devotee, Gargamuni, mahad vichalanam. Vichalanam means they're moving from one place to another place. Mahad, great devotees like you, mahad vichalanam, you move from one place to another. Dina chetasam grihinam drinam nishreyasaya. Nishreyasaya means to bestow benefit upon grihinam drina, to bestow auspiciousness upon householders householders who are Dina Chetasam, who are very poor hearted. Poor hearted because, their thoughts are fixed on their own welfare and the welfare of their family. They cannot think beyond that. So, what is the source, what is the hope for such householders? Hope for such householders is the visiting of exalted personalities like yourself. Mahat vichalanam nrinam grihinam dina chetasam nishreyasaya bhagavan kalpate na anyata kuchit. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another. Na anyata kalpate kuchit. Great devotees like yourself. Great devotees like yourself travel to the houses of poor-hearted householders like us purely for our welfare. So similarly, you must have come here for my welfare only or for our welfare, and it must not, you must not have come here for your own purpose. Like that. So, Shri Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur writes here. When great saints leave their ashramas and travel outside, they bring the highest fortune to the householders. Such mercy is beneficial and necessary for the grihasthas on earth, but not for the brahmacharis or the demigods. That's what he is indicating here. Such mercy is beneficial and necessary for the grihasthas on earth, but not for the brahmacharis or the demigods. Not that it is not needed, but a grihastha feels, we are the most fallen, we need it. Oh, they are anyway very exalted, they don't need it, but we need it. In that mood. This is not spoken in the mood of this statement. Is not indicating that actually the saintly persons cannot help the demigods or the brahmacharis. No. What it means is, here is Nanda Maharaj speaking this verse. Him being a householder, he is telling, oh, actually your presence is very auspicious for, it's absolutely needed for householders like us because we are very fallen. Oh, those brahmacharis and demigods, they are very exalted. They may, so they may not, we benefit much more by your presence than the demigods or the brahmacharis. So the mood of speaking this is not to indicate that brahmacharis or the demigods, they can't benefit from saintly association. That's not what it means. It means that we need this association all the more than them, like that. So, grihasthas who are humble and think themselves lower than the grass, dina chetasam, can receive mercy from the wandering mendicants. Okay. So, grihasthas who are, so here, dina chetasam means what? Not that one meaning can be poor hearted, very, their heart fixed in material things. Or dina chetasam means considering themselves very dina, which means very humble. So humble grihasthas who consider themselves lower than the grass can receive mercy from the wandering mendicants. But proud, hard-hearted grihasthas with crooked mentalities can never receive mercy from the saints. Okay. So this is another meaning. So, Nanda Maharaj, when he is speaking this, he says, that, oh, we are poor-hearted grihasthas and we really need benefit by the presence of great, saints like yourself. But taking another meaning, this is an instruction to the grihasthas. if you are humbled, Dina Chetasam, if you consider yourself lower than the straw in the street, and in that mode, if you serve the great Mahats, then there is mercy. But if one does not have that humble mentality, if you are a hard-hearted, proud grihastha with crooked mentality, you can never receive mercy from the saints. Like that. So, then, okay, let's complete two more verses and then we will open up for some discussion. Jyotishamayanam sakshat yattajnanam atindriyam pranitam bhavata yena puman veda paravaram. Bhavata pranitam. O great saintly person, you have compiled jyotishamayanam. You have compiled astrological knowledge. Yat tad jnanam atindriyam. By which one can understand past and present unseen things. Atindriyam jnanam. Yad. So, you have compiled the Jyotish Shastras by which one can understand knowledge of the past and future, which cannot be seen by the eyes of an ordinary person. You are such a exalted personality. Yatta jnanam atindriyam. So, yena, by the strength of this knowledge, puman veda paravaram, by this knowledge, any person can understand paravaram, what he has done in his past life and how it will affect his present life. So he is telling that you have compiled the astrological knowledge. By which one can understand the past and future, unseen things. Okay. By this, one can understand what he has done in past and how it will affect his present. Basically, he is glorifying Gargacharya as a great astrologer. In this verse, Nanda Maharaj begins to intimate his desire to Gargamuni about the Namakaran ceremony of his son. Nanda Maharaj said, not only do you know the treatise about the planets from which one can get knowledge beyond gross sense perception, but you have compiled it as well. So not only do you know knowledge of astrology, not only have you learned it, but you have yourself compiled it. You are a compiler of astrological knowledge. You are an author. By astrology, one can know the past and future of any human being. By examining the charts of his son born to me in my old age and seeing the lines on his hands and feet, please tell all the auspicious and inauspicious events of the child's future. Please tell what are the auspicious things which may happen in his future. What are the inauspicious things that are awaiting him? Please tell. Okay. So then he continues. Tvam hi brahma vidam sreshtaha samskaran kartum arhasi balayorana yornanam janmana brahmano guru. Tvam hi brahma vidam sreshtaha. You are the best amongst the knowers of the Vedas. Here it means the Jyotish Shastra. You are the best of the Brahmanas, especially because you are fully aware of the Jyotish Shastra, astrological science. Nrinam Janmana Brahmano Guru. Therefore, you are naturally the spiritual master of every human being. Anayor Balayor Samskaram Kartumarhasi. And please perform the
samskaras, especially in this case, the namakarana samskara, the jatakarma and namakarma of these two children, of these two sons. You are the best of the brahmanas. Being aware of the astrological signs, so you are our guru. Please do the samskaras for my two sons. Okay. Then the Maharaj continued, such a great personality coming to my house is just for my benefit. The benefit is twofold, for the present life and the future life. Of the two, I am now requesting you to deliver the auspiciousness of this present life. Thus, Nanda Maharaj begins to speak. You are not only the best amongst the astrologers, but you are also the best among those who know God. You are most qualified to perform the necessary samskaras because you are expert in telling the future and in chanting mantras. So please perform samskaras to my two sons. Gargamuni says, oh, but these functions should be done by the guru. Nanda Maharaj replies, just by their birth, the brahmanas are the spiritual masters of all human beings. The brahmanas are the spiritual masters of all human beings. You are a brahmana, we are vaishyas, you are our gurus. So you can perform the samskaras of my two children. Please perform the samskaras of my son. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as and before we move forward? Okay. If there is none, then we will continue the discussion further. So he has requested Gargamuni. Yes, Madhavi Gopi Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, why was Krishna's naming done so late? Looking for Gargacharya.
First thing is how late it is not yet mentioned. Actually, it is mentioned that Trinavarta's killing happened 1 year after Krishna was born. But by then, long before, his Namakaran had already happened. But because when on the 8th day, when Putana was killed, after Putana killing, Shukadev Goswami became inspired to speak about the killing of Shakatasura and Pranavarta also in that order. But then later he realized, oh, but I forgot to speak about the Namakaran ceremony. So he comes back to speak about that. So this is not in chronological order.
Okay, so it was not at 1 year. It was somewhere between, before 1 year.
Much before that. But actually, I'm not okay. Very sure. Maybe later it might be discussed. I think it did not happen. It is supposed to happen on the 11th day. Maybe fearing Kamsa, maybe Gargacharya came a little late, or Vasudev sent Gargacharya a little late, or maybe he came on the 11th day when the Namakaran has to happen. So, but it is not very clearly mentioned here. But definitely, we just saw Shukadev Goswami, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti mentions that Shukadev Goswami forgot to speak about the Namakaran ceremony. So after discussing Trinavarta, he goes back to discussing the Namakaran ceremony. It's not that Namakaran happened after Trinavarta's death. No, that's very clearly.
Okay, thank you, Guru.
Okay, there is another question. Why did Nanda Maharaj consider himself as an ordinary grihastha? Because that is the nature of great devotees. They never consider themselves very great. So he considered himself as a... This is the natural... Shantir avyarta kalatvam viraktir mana shunyata ashabandha samutkanta namagani sadaruchi asaktistad gunakhyane pritistad vasatisthale. So these are the reliable symptoms of bhava. When someone, bhava and prema, when someone becomes very exalted, naturally they, mana shunyata, they develop this natural humility where they consider themselves very, very fallen as an ordinary person, like that. Okay. Gopinandini Mataji says, within 100 days, it is mentioned. Srila Prabhupada writes it in the purport. So ideally, within the 100 days after the birth of the child, the Namakarana should happen. That is the scriptural injunction. Prabhupada writes it in the purport. Okay, there's another question. Did all the Brahmanas have knowledge of astrology in those times? I do not know. Maybe not. I do not know. Maybe they did. Or maybe some of them had little knowledge, some of them had very extensive knowledge. So I am not very sure. Okay. Let's continue. So he has now requested, can you please do the samskaras for my children, for my two sons? You are an expert in the astrological science, like that. So Garga Muni responds. So he said, Shri Garga Uvacha, Yaduna Mahamacharyaha, Khyatascha Bhubi Sarvada, Sutam Maya Samskritam Te, Manyate Devaki Sutam. Yadunam aham acharya. My dear Nanda Maharaj, I am the priestly guide of the Yadu dynasty. Khyatascha bhuvi sarvada. And this is well known everywhere. Maya te sutam samskritam. Therefore, if I perform the purificatory process of your sons, manyate devaki sutam, then Kamsa will think that these two are the sons of Devaki. So, there is a question. Garga Muni's Garga Samhita is not as per the bhava of the Brajavasis. But here Garga Muni is performing name-giving ceremony. So, how to understand that Garga Samhita is not as per the Brajavasis bhava? See, we understand anything based on the writings of our acharyas. That's all. That is how we understand. Okay. Otherwise, we don't speculate anything. Okay. Here, Garga Muni himself says, Yadunam aham acharyah kyatascha bhuvi sarvada. He was the priestly guide of the Yadu dynasty in Mathura. He was a Mathuravas. He was not staying in Vrindavan. He had just visited Vrindavan because Vasudev sent him. That was the only purpose. Otherwise, he was a Mathuravas. So, here he says that I am the priest of Yadus. This is well known. Therefore, if I perform the samskaras for your sons, Kamsa will think that they are Devaki's son. This will become very obvious. Okay. So Garga speaks to advise that the samskara must be done secretly because of the danger to himself and Nanda from Kamsa. Because Kamsa will neither spare the two children nor will he spare Gargacharya for secretly doing this kind of thing.
Okay. So what he is suggesting is, he is not telling I will not do, but what he is suggesting here is it has to be done secretly. So Nanda Maharaj, you are actually a member of the Yadu dynasty, but you are not known as a Yadu because you are not a Kshatriya. However, I am well known as the priest of the Yadus. So Nanda Maharaj is also a Yadu. Okay. So because in the Yadu clan, Parjanya, I think, right? So Parjanya had a Kshatriya wife and a Vaishya wife. So from the Vaishya wife came Nanda Maharaj, from the Kshatriya wife came Vasudev. So that way, in that lineage, not exactly son, I think. Devamida. Yeah, I think Devamida. So Devamida had a Kshatriya wife and a Vaishya wife. And from the Kshatriya wife's lineage comes Vasudev, and from the Vaishya wife's lineage comes Nanda Maharaj, like that. So he is also a Yadu only, but he is not well known as a Yadu because the Yadus were actually Kshatriyas. But Nanda Maharaj was also a Yadu, but he was not well known as a Yadu because he was a Vaishya. Okay. Therefore, if I don't do this ceremony secretly, there will be a lot of doubts. So therefore, this has to be done secretly. That's what he's indicating here. You know, otherwise, this will be a problem. This has to be done very secretly. So, Kamsaha papamatisakyam tavachanaka dundubehe devakya ashtamo garbo nastri bhavitumarhati iti sanchintayan shrutva devakya darika vachaha apihanta gata shankas tarhi tannona yo bhavet. He says, Kamsaha papamatihi. Kamsa is a very sinful man. He is both a great diplomat and a very sinful man. Shrutva devakya darika vachaha. Therefore, having heard from Yogamaya, the daughter of Devaki, so he's addressing her as daughter of Devaki only, not daughter of Yashoda, because that is not known. Okay. Devakya ashtamo garbo nastri bhavita marhati. So having heard from the daughter of Devaki that the child who will kill him has already been born somewhere else, having heard that the 8th pregnancy of Devaki could not bring forth a female child, tavacha anaka dundubehe sakyam, and also having understood your friendship with Vasudev, Kamsa will tie all these, you know, will join all the dots, you know. So Yogamaya told that your killer has already been born somewhere else. And having understood your friendship with Vasudev, and comes upon hearing that the samskaras have been performed by me, the priest of the Yadu dynasty, may certainly consider all these points. Iti sanchintayan hanta gatashankaha, and he may suspect that Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Tadna anayo bhavet, then he might take steps to kill Krishna. That would be a catastrophe. Tadna anayo bhavet, it will not be good. So Kamsa, sinful Kamsa, having heard from Yogamaya, that his killer has been born elsewhere, and having understood your friendship
with Vasudev. If he sees that I perform the samskaras for both, he will conclude that Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudev, and this will be inauspicious. So Gargamuni continued, everyone everywhere will think this, especially Kamsa will pursue this matter. Nanda Maharaj replied, but will Kamsa, being a Brahmavadi, actually kill you? He will not kill you. Garga says, yes, because Kamsa is a sinful person, he will kill people like us. So Brahmavadi means one who respects the Brahmanas. So Brahmavadi does not mean, like Mayavadi, Brahmavadi, like that. So Brahmavadi means one who respects the Brahmanas. That is how it should be understood. So, will he kill you? He says, oh, Papamati, he is a sinful person. He will definitely kill us. He will certainly do it. Because he has already committed violence against your friend Vasudev, he will do the same to you. His demoniac intelligence will begin to act. So when Kamsa heard the words of Devaki's daughter, he thought, oh, it is not possible that the eighth child of Devaki is a girl. So he was wondering, how could the eighth child be a girl? He was thinking, he already had that doubt, the eighth child could not be a girl. My enemy Vishnu has certainly been born to Devaki, but by the arrangement of Vasudev, he was taken to the house of his friend Nanda. He will start joining all these dots. Otherwise, why would the official priest of the Yadus, Gargacharya, go and do the samskaras for Nanda, who is not even a Kshatriya, who was not well known as a Yadu at all, because Yadus are supposed to be Kshatriyas, and he was a Vaishya. Why would Gargacharya go and do the samskara for them? Because he was the official priest of the Yadus, the Kshatriyas. So he says, my worshipable deity Durga, who has taken the role of Devaki's daughter, said, he who will kill me has already taken birth somewhere. Having ambiguously stated that Vishnu was not born to Devaki, but somewhere else, Durga had hinted to me that I should search everywhere and quickly kill him. So he was thinking like that. Kamsa was thinking, oh, my worshipable deity, Durga, who has taken the role of Devaki's daughter, she told that he who is my killer has already taken birth elsewhere. But it was not very clear. She did not very clearly say that Vishnu was not born to Devaki. But she hinted that I should search everywhere and quickly kill him. Okay. While thinking in this way and engrossed in looking for his enemy, Kamsa, upon hearing about my performance of the Namakarana, may conclude that Vasudeva's son is in Nanda's house and he will come here to kill the child. This will then be a great fault on my part. If I very publicly perform this Namakarana ceremony, then Kamsa will definitely come to know and he will think that, oh, actually Vasudev did give birth to a child and that was shifted to Nanda Maharaj's house by somehow. And this must be the child. Otherwise, why would Gargacharya come and perform the Namakaran for this particular child? This makes no sense. Because he is the official priest of the Yadu dynasty. And Nanda Maharaj is not a Yadu. He may think like that.
So when Gargacharya spoke in this particular way, Nanda Maharaj responds. He says, Shri Nanda Uvacha Alakshitosmin Rahasi Mamakairapi Govraje Kurud Vichati Samskaram Swasti Vachana Purvakam. My dear great sage, if you think that you are performing this process of purification will make Kamsa suspicious, this is all not directly there in the verse, this is all implied. Rahasi Swasti Vachana Purvakam, then secretly chant the Vedic hymns, Kuru Dvijati Samskaram, and perform the purifying process of second birth. Vijati Samskaram, because, you know, Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, all three of them are called as Dvijas. Asmin Govraje, you know, secretly in this cow shed of my house, you perform the Dvijati Samskaram. Mamakairapi Lakshito, and I will ensure even my relatives will not know this. Because this process of purification is essential. So to perform Jatakarma, Namakarma is essential. Okay. So you cannot miss out on an essential samskara. So please do it. But we will do it so secretly. Just do it in my cow shed. Even my own relatives will not know. So he says that then Nanda Maharaj said, then secretly do the samskara in my cow shed. Even my relatives shall not know. Okay. So Nanda Maharaj says, oh, by good fortune you have come to my house. When will I again receive such an acharya as you? Today we will do only what is minimally required by the Shastras and have all the other festivities with music done on another day. Okay. So today we will do whatever is bare minimum. Okay. Whatever is bare minimum we will do today. Okay. And later, when the right time comes, we will do the other essential ceremonies with great festivities. Thinking in this way, Nanda speaks this verse. Mamakair indicates that not even Nanda's brother should know. Go Vraja, the cow pen is a pure place and therefore it does not need cleaning. Okay. Because there is Gomutra and cow dung. All of that is very auspicious and pure. In fact, to purify impure places, you use cow urine and cow dung. So that place where there is abundant cow urine and cow dung, that need not be cleansed. It is already clean. So which means immediately you can do. You don't have to do anything else. You know, there is no need for purifying that place and getting it ready. Rahasi means that they will not allow the entrance for the workers who usually come into the sheds to take the cows for pasturing. Today, na, I will not even allow all the other cowherds who will come to take the cows for pasturing, I will not even give them entrance. I will say, today is chutti for you. Dvijati indicates that Balram was a Kshatriya and Krishna a Vaishya. So both were eligible for the Namakaran samskaras. Otherwise, so Dvijati. So Dvijati here refers to that, you know, Balram was a Kshatriya, Krishna was a Vaishya. Okay, so Dvijati. Swasti Vachana means that the Punyavaha, Swasti and Riddhi mantra should be recited 3 times. They must be recited before all the auspicious rituals. Swasti Vachana. Okay. So in this way, he gives an option for Gargacharya. Yes, yes, we will very secretly do it. Kamsa will never come to know. You know, even my own relatives will never come to know. Even my own brothers, they will never get to know. Very secretly, in my own cow shed, because there is, it has abundance of cow urine and cow dung. It need not be cleansed also. It is already considered a pure place. And I will not even let the cow herds, enter this place. So you can peacefully perform this ceremony and please do it like that. He is requesting Gargacharya. So now Gargacharya, you know, what his response is, we will have to wait till Thursday to find out how Gargacharya responds. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions? We still have 2 minutes left. Okay, why Balram is considered a Kshatriya? Because he is the son of Vasudeva and Rohini, who are both Kshatriyas. So he is considered a Kshatriya. Yes, Radha Pramod Prabhu.
Lord is showing by his example, even this material world, if there is always some problem or other. For him also, he could not celebrate his name giving ceremony in a grand way. He has to do it secretly. And he is born in some prison. So these are like indications that don't expect much in this mental world. And practice devotional service, go to spiritual world. Of course, Lord is beyond it. But even if he comes, he is also showing that this is how complicated this mental world is.
Yeah. That is true. Yeah. What can you expect from the material world? So, yeah.
Even the Supreme Lord, he has to keep his parents in prison. Who is like, Devakin was there. The father and mother are Supreme Lord and he's born in the prison. His name giving ceremony is done in a secret way. And yeah. People, they complained in this material world. Lord says, where is the question of complaining? See how I came. I had to be born in the prison. How many of you are born in prison? How many of your parents are in the prison? And yeah. At least you can have a grand name giving ceremony. I had to live secretly. And name giving ceremony is also secret.
Yeah. Thank you, bro. Okay. So we will meet again on Thursday and we will participate in Krishna's Namakaran ceremony on Thursday. So please do join. You know, Krishna could not celebrate it with a great utsav. But we can celebrate Krishna's Namakaran ceremony with a nice Shravanotsav. So please do join on Thursday. We will have official Krishna's Namakaran ceremony on Thursday afternoon 12 to 2. So please do join and we will come together and celebrate Krishna's Namakaran ceremony. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.